Hyperbaric oxygen therapy turns Matthew's long COVID, ME/CFS, and POTS around. By Court Johnson, December 31st, 2024. What an interesting tale Matthew's long COVID and ME/CFS recovery story is. It is interesting because it's a blend of old and new. The old Matthew benefited greatly from a POTS diagnosis and treatment regimen at the Bateman Horn Center, and then finally recovered using a new treatment, hyperbaric oxygen therapy. He wrote about this experience in The Long Haul, My Four-Year Battle to Beat Long COVID, ME/CFS, and POTS. Matthew was not a novice to rare or unusual diseases. He was diagnosed with hyperparathyroidism, which affects 0.3% of males at the age of 19. Then at the age of 44, after almost choking to death, he was diagnosed with a severe case of achalasia. It was long COVID and chronic fatigue syndrome and POTS which nearly killed him, though. Matthew's story of his struggle to find knowledgeable doctors and get help is familiar, but comes with a twist. While Matthew did get, quote, unquote, full workups from three hospitals, which turned out to be pointless, and did see 20 doctors who got his diagnosis wrong, he was able, through the internet, to properly diagnose himself and find his way to knowledgeable doctors within 2 years. Matthew first became ill in 2020, and I imagine things are better now. After ME Action's work at the Mayo Clinic, I would hope that if Matthew hit the Mayo Clinic today, he would be quickly diagnosed. Since Matthew became ill, two large ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, POTS, and long COVID centers have opened up. Metrodora and David Petrino's $10 million Cohen Center for Recovery from Complex Chronic Illnesses. Plus, the Recover Initiative has produced 15 long COVID clinics. Progress is being made. Matthew's story. At the time Matthew got ill, he seemed to be living the dream, a successful professional at the top of his field. He had a good family, many friends, and was financially secure. A well-known criminologist, university professor, and part-time brewologist, Matthew authored 25 books over time. Fixing his achalasia required three surgeries, but left him, once recovered, with a burning desire to start living. And that meant traveling the world. And so he did, ultimately visiting all seven continents. His long COVID story started in February 2020 at a concert in North Carolina, putting him amongst the first people in North Carolina to come down with COVID-19, and ultimately long COVID, ME/CFS, and POTS. The dizziness that would become a hallmark of his illness and plague him for the next 4 years began about 2 weeks into his COVID-19 experience. His other major symptoms were brain fog, post-exertional malaise, and fatigue. During the day, he typically spent 6 to 12 hours in bed. When post-exertional malaise really hit, he was unable to do simple things like cooking, cleaning, or walking the dog. Nothing had prepared him for the level of debility he was experiencing, and at one point he began to think about suicide. His journey through the medical profession didn't help. While he recognized that long COVID was new to medicine, he nevertheless characterized his experience with the medical profession as, quote, deeply perplexing, troubling, gut-wrenching, agonizing, frustrating, and frankly unacceptable, end quote. Besides being told that he would have to wait for the science to catch up, he was given multiple faulty diagnoses, including benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, persistent postural perceptual dizziness, vestibular hypofunction, mal de debarkment syndrome, and brain tumor, none of which fit his particular symptoms. For instance, while mal de debarkment syndrome can produce symptoms that feel like you are on a boat, it does not produce cognitive problems nor the 24-hour dizziness, does not make one sweat more, and is not worsened by cognitive or physical exertion, etc. It generally took Matthew a few minutes on the internet to understand that none of his diagnoses fit him. As his doctors muffed diagnosis after diagnosis and more tests were unrevealing, he grew more and more desperate to have something, anything, show up. Instead of being delighted by an MRI which did not find a brain tumor, the result nearly brought him to tears. By the time he was finally diagnosed with post-viral syndrome by a neurologist, he was already $6,000 out of pocket. As so many people have, Matthew, based on his online searches, first diagnosed himself with ME/CFS and or POTS, and then headed to the Bateman Horne Center in Salt Lake City, where the NASA lean test and the clinical examination confirmed the diagnosis. Midodrine improved his symptoms by about 25% over several months. Adding in Abilify, low-dose naltrexone, and Paxlovid helped significantly. Matthew felt his symptoms improved by about 5% a month, every month, for 2 years. Dr. Bateman told Matthew she thought he would eventually fully recover, as in her experience, long COVID patients did better than ME/CFS patients. Matthew got to the point where he was able to go on less strenuous hikes, do home workouts, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, and travel a bit. The travel was exhausting, but it was doable. Matthew was looking into new treatment options when in November 2023, without warning, he experienced a major relapse that left him spending 20 hours a day at times in bed. Perhaps the most disturbing thing about the relapse was that he could not find any reason for it. It just happened, and he was back in the soup. After a great deal of back and forth, questioning and hemming and hawing, Matthew decided to go for a, quote, Hail Mary. A three-month course of a new and mostly unproven treatment, a course of hyperbaric oxygen therapy at the Aviv Clinic in Florida that would set him back tens of thousands of dollars. It turned out to be a very good decision. Matthew's Aviv hyperbaric oxygen therapy experience. At this point, Matthew would probably be considered to have a mild to moderate case of ME/CFS. He was still teaching and was well enough to travel, but was largely sedentary. 3 straight days of testing, including MRI and SPECT, or SPECT, brain scans, started his stay. Dr. Hadany said that if the initial brain scan does not show problems, Aviv may not accept the patient because they don't think the protocol will help. During a cognitive test, when asked to name as many words that start with F as he could, this university professor could only come up with 6. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Breathing pure oxygen through a mask will not do it. Dr. Amir Hadany, in Jackal Baxter's The Long COVID podcast, first explained that it's all because of Henry's law, which states that more oxygen can be delivered into the tissues at higher pressure. Dr. Hadany began examining HBOT, or hyperbaric oxygen therapy, in traumatic brain injury patients in 2008 and now leads Aviv Clinic's hyperbaric oxygen therapy program. Aviv states that the hyperbaric oxygen protocol increases oxygen levels in the body 10 to 15 fold. The participants alternate breathing pure oxygen with oxygen breaks, during which they take in normal oxygen levels, a process Aviv states helps the tissue rejuvenate. The process seems very hormetic. In the hyperoxic-hypoxic paradox, or HHP, when the participants remove their masks after breathing a high oxygen mixture, the sudden drop in oxygen fools their brains into thinking they're suffocating. The brain is not actually experiencing a hypoxic or dangerously low oxygen state, it simply thinks it is, and so goes into repair mode, producing some nice new factors, blood vessels, stem cells, and oxygen, or energy. This same set of factors, increasing blood vessels, activating stem cells, and providing oxygen, is what hyperbaric oxygen therapy does. Hadany stated that wounds in the brain, part of the brain that are metabolically impaired in long COVID, are similar to wounds in the body. While many hypotheses have been put forth to explain those wounds, the end result is the same: metabolically dysfunctional or low energy areas of the brain. HBOT has the potential to enhance oxygen delivery to the tissues, improve mitochondrial functioning, help repair tissues, clear out blood clots, and reduce inflammation. On paper, it sounds great. The Aviv protocol. Aviv incorporates both exercise and brain training into its protocol. While both seem daunting to an ME/CFS long COVID patient, the idea seems to be that as the body gets more oxygenated, the mental and physical exercise helps integrate the oxygen more and more into the tissues and rebuild them. On its website, Aviv states it treats the following conditions: reversing the biology of aging, post-concussion syndrome, long COVID, fibromyalgia, post-stroke recovery, Lyme disease, post-traumatic stress disorder, athletic performance, and carbon monoxide poisoning. Its long COVID page includes several recovery stories. Dr. Hanardi reported that the 40 days of HBOT therapy Aviv uses for other conditions turned out not to be enough for people with longer duration, more than 6 months long COVID. 60 days are needed to grow the new blood vessels and neurons that produce long-term healing. Besides doing 2 hours of HBOT a day, 4 times 20-minute sessions, breathing 100% oxygen for 60 days, Matthew's team at Aviv came up with an exercise plan that included doing 10,000 steps a day, lifting light weights, elevated heart work, 123 to 138 beats per minute 4 times a week in zone 3, moderate exercise, which involved slow jogging and hiking once or twice a week. Matthew was willing to try walking, but when he learned the only way he could get his heart rate up enough to get into zone 3 training was by jogging, he balked. While Dr. Bateman had warned him about becoming deconditioned and had him doing push-ups, pull-ups, and sit-ups, jogging, even slow jogging, was something else. It was explained that the only way to get the stem cells into his brain was to get his heart rate up enough. And for him, that meant slow jogging. Matthew signed on, and between his HBOT sessions, he did his slow jogging. At first, the jogging was slow, messy, and painful, as he'd anticipated, but it got easier as the hyperbaric oxygen therapy continued. He also spent 45 minutes a day performing a variety of mental exercises using the Brain HQ computer program while in the hyperbaric chamber. Results. It took Matthew 2 weeks before he experienced a zero-symptom moment. That ultimately progressed into a zero-symptom day and a zero-symptom week. He said he entered the 3-month program feeling like he was nearly dead and left feeling fully alive again. 3 weeks after the treatment ended, he returned for a post-treatment assessment. He was told that his cholesterol and triglycerides fell, his testosterone increased, he gained 5 pounds of muscle, lost 11 pounds of fat, his VO2 max increased by 18%, his anaerobic threshold increased by 38%, blood flows to different parts of his brain increased from 5 to 10%, and his cognitive performance in many areas increased significantly. He considered himself completely cured. By the time his book was published in June, he had completed 4 5Ks. When I recently communicated with him, Matthew said he'd maintained his recovery 7 months later. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, or HBOT, studies. One review points out that HBOT appears to be targeting some pretty heavy-duty processes believed to be in play in long COVID, ME/CFS, and fibromyalgia. They include ameliorating and reversing microvascular pathologies such as endothelial dysfunction, microvascular rarefaction, improved blood-brain barrier features, mitochondrial function, cellular metabolism, inflammation, and oxidative stress. Indeed, several studies and case reports have made it clear that HBOT therapy can produce at least temporary improvements in long COVID, fibromyalgia, and ME/CFS. A systematic review of 10 mostly small long COVID HBOT case reports studies reported that HBOT has shown some benefits for long COVID symptoms, but that more rigorous large-scale trials are needed. An Israeli study found improvement in brain perfusion and microstructural changes in multiple areas of the brain. The researchers reported that HBOT can induce neuroplasticity and improve cognitive, psychiatric, fatigue, sleep, and pain symptoms of patients suffering from post-COVID-19 condition. A meta-analysis of 4 randomized controlled HBOT fibromyalgia studies concluded prolonged treatment sessions may help with pain relief, and called, not surprisingly, for larger randomized controlled trials with larger follow-up times. A 2015 Israeli HBOT fibromyalgia study employing a now familiar protocol, 40 daily sessions, 5 days a week, 90 minutes each, 100% oxygen with air breaks at 2.0 ATA, found that HBOT improved brain activity where it was the most needed. That is, it improved frontal cortex activity, seat of executive functioning, and decreased activity of the formerly hyperactive brain regions that amplify pain. A big question has been whether the improvements will last once the treatment is stopped. Few people have the means, of course, to periodically return to get HBOT therapy. HBOT's ability to achieve long-term improvement, such as Matthew experienced, was borne out by a recent Israeli study published in Nature. Dr. Hadney referred to this study as an Aviv study, but it was done at the Shamir Medical Center in Israel and did not appear to include the exercise and brain retraining aspects. The Israeli study followed 31 long COVID patients who underwent a similar protocol, 40 daily sessions. Hadney now asserts that 60 sessions are needed for long COVID. A year later, the patient's sleep, pain severity, and pain interference remained moderately, or in the case of pain interference, largely improved. Neuropsychiatric symptoms, somatization, depression, and anxiety were moderately impacted as well. This seemed to fit with Matthew's subjective assessment. He reported that he felt that everybody with long COVID that he met improved. Some had dramatic improvements, and some, like him, recovered completely. Outside of long COVID, he also saw some miraculous recoveries. A stroke victim who was able to walk again, and a person with debilitating nerve pain who ended up being pain-free. Interestingly, physical functioning, as measured by the physical functioning domain of the SF-36 questionnaire, was not significantly improved. This part of the SF-36 questionnaire asks how much one's health impacts one's ability to do things like walking, climbing stairs, etc. These kinds of heterogeneous results are, of course, the norm, not just for ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, but for many diseases. A look at Health Rising's recovery stories indicates that when given to the right person, all sorts of treatments, antivirals, vaccines, neuroplasticity programs, diets, Ampligen, nicotine patch, IVIG, spinal surgeries, rapamycin, etc., can result in cures. The big question is how often they do and for whom. With at least 4 studies underway, some of them quite large, we'll undoubtedly learn more about the effectiveness of HBOT therapy for long COVID and ME/CFS over the next couple of years. Conclusion. Few of us have the means to duplicate Matthew's HBOT program, but Matthew's story points to something important and hopeful, and that's the role that increased oxygen levels at the tissue level may play. Until insurance will pay for HBOT therapy, if it ever will, HBOT may be more important for what it's pointing to than as a treatment possibility for most of us. The implications of increasing oxygen levels include the possibility that improving blood flows, possibly by reducing sympathetic nervous system activity, removing blood clots, increasing oxygen levels, enhancing mitochondrial activity, and reducing inflammation can be quite helpful. A recent study, for instance, suggests that using inspiratory muscle training, which can increase oxygen levels, can be helpful. Given HBOT's expense and the long time component, one wonders if the process could be sped up. Could anticoagulants, mitochondrial supplements, blood volume enhancers, or immune modulators done in conjunction with HBOT help with that? If you're going to spend probably tens of thousands of dollars on an Aviv stay, why not throw in $1,500 worth of oxaloacetate? One would hope clinics like Aviv will eventually provide comprehensive treatment protocols focused on each condition. We will need bigger and better studies, but if long-duration HBOT protocols can be counted on to provide permanent and moderate or better relief, they have to be taken seriously. Health Rising is not affiliated in any way with the Aviv clinics. Health Rising's end of year, beginning of the new year donation drive. Thanks to the hundreds of people who have supported Health Rising to the tune of about $50,000 thus far. Complete and comprehensive. That's what we aim for at Health Rising. Matthew's recovery story is a case in point. It was the starting point of a journey into hyperbaric oxygen therapy, not the ending point. We wanted to know how HBOT showed up in studies as well. That's how we try to get as complete a picture as possible. If that's what you like to see, please support us and keep the information flowing. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. Give a one-time donation at the link in the text version of the article, right between the end of the article and the beginning of the comments section.